So I have two little baby boys, and last night they didn't let me sleep at all. So I need your energy. I really need it. I'm serious. The other thing is, thank you. I appreciate it. Some more?
Yeah!
You guys are awesome. The other thing is, tonight I'm not talking my babysitting just for you. You know, you're so important that I'm going to miss out on that. So you're my people. All right, so enough about that. Is the camera recording? I always try to record everything I do. This is a tip for you guys. If you're in sales or communication, record yourself making some calls. Record yourself sending emails. Maybe you'll learn something about your facial expressions, your body language. There's a lot to learn by actually studying yourself. The recording part is the easy thing. The hard thing is actually watching yourself. All right, let's see if this works. There you go. So here's the format. I'm going to do just three very simple things that almost everybody overlooks. And hopefully we'll do a lot of Q&A. So interrupt me in the middle if you have questions. Let's make this interactive. The other thing is, who has heard of me or Close Eye in the past? This is just for my ego. I love all of you. But all right, so there's still lots of work to be done. So I'm going to do a very quick background on myself and the company. So we started 2 years ago with a company called Elastic Sales. And what Elastic Sales was doing, down in Mountain View on the Google campus with this massive office and with tons and tons of salespeople and sales operations, and we were offering outsourced sales services and sales consulting to B2B startups. We work with over 200 venture-backed startups, and we're, for a while, kind of the most hushed secret. We talked to everybody in B2B, in sales, that was trying to scale or had challenges scaling. We helped all these companies. And in the process, from day one, because we were salespeople ourselves, and we hated all the sales software that was out there at the time, we thought, well, fuck that, let's build our own little tool. First, we were referring to this as our secret sauce. And then, you know, at the beginning, obviously, it was shit, but it took us a while to get kind of a vision of what we thought good sales software looked like. And after a while, because we had this unique vantage point of doing sales for so many different businesses, the software started to become really good, and our salespeople started bragging to their friend that were also in sales, showing them what we had, and we're like, you can't have that, it's just for us. So eventually, we got lots of people to be interested in the software. And eventually we released the software, the software did really, really well. And then we were like, well, fuck the services thing, the software thing is exploding right now. So that's what we're fully focused on right now. Close.io, if you haven't checked it out, please go to www.close.io. Do it right now, I'm serious, I'm gonna wait. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so you can check out the sales software that we have. It's primarily focused for inside sales teams to communicate better and more and close more deals in the process. All right. Let's start off with the good shit. So here's a very simple truth when it comes to like messaging and pitching. Everything that I will share with you is simple, right? But still, it's gonna be very hard for you to do. First, when people ask me, hey, how can we get our messaging right? How can we get the right subject line, the right email message, the right pitch? I tell them, how about asking your fucking customers? How about asking the people that know that we're convinced to buy? When you send the first bunch of emails, and you see some people open them, how about calling them and going, hey, I don't want to sell you, so you open it, you didn't reply, I assume you're not interested. I'm interested to know why you opened it in the first place. Can you tell me? Was the subject line good? Anything could change? What did you expect when you opened the email? Were you disappointed? Did it disappoint you? Right? How about asking some simple questions to another human being, figuring out why they opened the email? Same goes for the subject line. Hey, you responded before I start giving you our demo. When I send you the email and you replied and said, sure, this sounds awesome, let's talk. What exactly sounded awesome? Right? What exactly about my message was interesting? Let me ask you, before I pitch you what we do, can you pitch me what we do based on the email I sent you? Super silent, guys. This is not rocket science, but we all forget it. The other thing is, I had somebody a few days ago tell me, Stelly, we have this really complex product, and everybody misinterprets in the email what it is and relates it to something in the past. Everybody, therefore, is not as interested as they should be. But when I demo people, the demo kills. They love it. I'm like, cool. Did you ask them after the demo, hey, if you had to describe what we do to somebody else, how would you do it? What's your pitch? Let your customers educate you on the words they use, the way that the thing that resonated with them, and then just steal it. When you hear a bunch of people say the same thing again and again and again, It might be because it works. Just take that, right? I was talking to Noah Kagan from AppSumo, an awesome guy, a really good friend, and we were talking about one of our marketing things that we're doing, and we haven't instrumented the metrics so I really know how much new customers this thing drives. So I was like, I really don't know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Stelly, are you fucking crazy? Why don't you call a bunch of recent customers and ask them if they saw that thing? I'm like, oh shit, I'm so ashamed. I'm preaching this every day and still forget it. I've preached this to many people. When I talk to them a few weeks later, they're like, we do this A-B test, we've tried these new things. I'm like, did you ask some customers? Not yet. What the fuck is going on? These things are simple, but they're powerful. Just ask a bunch of people, what do you resonate to? What did you like? How would you describe what we're doing? It's not rocket science, people. All right, so the next thing is embrace resistance. This is another thing that I fucking love. People tell me all the time, Stelly, we're sending this email, and then every person replies, the people that reply always reply and tell us, we already have something. I'm like, and then what do you do? Well, we keep sending this email, but people really already have a solution to this. Okay, and how have you adopted and learned from this? Like, people, we all want to fight reality instead of embracing it. Like, can't these people stop having a solution? No, they can't. How about embracing that fact? Have you thought about reflecting that in your email? About the next email that you send? If you know that a huge portion of the people that you send an email to already have a solution, how about starting with that? Hey, my name is Stelly. Let me guess, you already have a solution. Now you might be wondering, what the fuck am I sending you an email nonetheless? Here's why. You know, the last 100 customers we had all had prior solutions. And once we jumped on a call for 3 minutes and discovered we could drive X amount of value to them, that prompted us to be more proactive. And that's why I'm sending you an email. I know you think it's not interesting, and I know better than you that it's going to be interesting. This might be too crass or too aggressive, but at least it realizes that people have certain thoughts, certain resistances, and you make it part of your pitch. The other thing is, and that might be that people already have a solution, it might be that people think, lots of people tell me, oh, everybody says we're such a small startup. If everybody says it, how about making it part of your pitch? Part of your messaging. Hey, I know what you're thinking right now. These guys are a small startup, and you're absolutely right. We're tiny. We're so tiny, I'm the founder, and I'm speaking to you right now. You know what? We're so tiny, I'm going to be your success manager, the CEO of the business. 24/7, I'll give you my phone number, my address, everything. Right? I'll buy a fax fee if you want the fax fee. Everything you want. 100% transparency and access, just for you. You know what? Remember when 20 years ago, whatever it was, you got an email from Google about advertising on them? They were fucking tiny back then. The same thing here. We're tiny today. We succeed. Let's assume we succeed. If we succeed, would you benefit from being part of it from the early days? What's the reward risk ratio? If we fail, you lost like a few $100 and you cancel a few months. What if we win and you were there from the get-go? Embrace it. You know, everybody thinks you're tiny. How about making it part of your pitch versus hiding from it? Most salespeople and sales organizations try to wiggle around and avoid the elephants in the room. The thing, oh, everybody says this. So I'm trying to have a conversation. They hold their breath. Hopefully this is going to be the call where they don't say this. Hopefully they're not going to say that we're sorry. Hopefully. And then it's like the last 2 minutes. You're like, yes, I almost made it to the finish. And then they're like, but you know, the only concern we have. And you're like, God damn it. Like, this is irrational, right? Make it part of your pitch. It's not that hard. Just accept and embrace reality. Very simple. Right, the last point before, hopefully we do some Q&A, some cool conversations. Use all formats when it comes to your emails. One last point about the thing that I said before, because I saw the call, the people that opened your email. Please, when you call people that opened your email, don't assume that they actually opened it, that they care about it, that they remember it, or they give a shit. Right? Just because the software tells you somebody opened your email, your job is not done. You're not calling now to give them support and success. You still have to say it. I hear people all the time, I call all these people that opened the email, and then what happens? I don't know, I call them and they're like, hey, I sent you the email, I wanted to check in with you, did you have any questions, how can we move this forward? And then the person goes, well, I don't know any email. But I saw it in the email. Gives a fuck, right? How about, like, people, just because you send them material, or the software says they open it, if you get a lot of people saying, I don't know, this was not interested, I didn't see it yet, or something else, about, again, embracing it. hey, you know, I sent you an email, wanted to see what you think about it. Well, I haven't seen any email.
I know. You get tons of email, right?
Listen, that's why I wanted to be proactive and call you. Instead of sending you another 30 emails that you're going to ignore and flood your inbox, I thought this chat create clarity between the two of us. 3 minutes, 3 questions, we'll know and have an educated decision if this is worth our time or not. All of a sudden, you take their energy, it's like fucking whatever, jiu-jitsu, kung-fu, whatever you like, right? You take their energy to your advantage because you know every person swings at you. Don't complain, just make it part of your interaction. Right? So, use all formats. So I'm a huge fan of short emails. I used to say, and still say that the surest way for me not to read your email is to send me a long email. That means you don't respect my time, you don't respect your time, you have no respect of yourself, of me, your family, your mother. So I'm not reading your email, right? I'm just gonna ignore it. But long emails, if done right, can also be super effective. So when you sign up for Closo, you get like a little email, super short. It's like, hey, I'm your account manager, this is Kevin. If you have any questions, let's chat. Here's the email that you get next, a few days later, 2 or 3 days later. This thing. This is a monster. Look at how long this is. I don't know if you can see it from the back, but people in the front can see as little as you in the back. There's nothing to see. It's so tiny. It's a huge email. It comes from me. It's our best performing email. If you want to know more about long-form sales letters, go, you know these marketing guys that sell you whatever, like, lose weight or change your life or something. Have you ever been on a site like that and it's super long and just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll forever and you're like, these guys don't know anything about sales. You're wrong. They're fucking awesome at this shit. If you do long email right, it kills. It's just not that easy to do. If you want that email, sign up for Closo. No. If you want anything, if you want these slides or anything, just shoot me an email at Stelly@Closo.io. I'll share everything with you. It's a super long email. You know the coolest thing about this email? It ends with disqualifying people. And the email was saying, now that I told you about the history of my country and my, you know, life story and everything I know, here's the people that should not buy. Like, let me save you some time. If you're one of these people in one of these scenarios, please don't buy. Don't waste your time. It's not for you. You know how many people send an email to that and try to argue with me on that point? They're like, Stelly, I know you said this is not for me because X, Y, and Z, but I think it's really for me because, and then they start arguing. You take something away, you make it really desirable to people, right? And then we go back and forth and we'll see who sells who on this. All right, this is pretty much all I got. 3 very simple ideas. You can go to closeout.com/resalescourse, get an email course, and you can also get a book. And I'll share a little bit about messaging and pitching on this. So this is the physical copy. If you just go to the website, Startup Sales Guide, you'll get, you know, awesome sauce of 50% off on the digital and Kindle version. There's a handsome guy. It's a very handsome, blonde man, powerful and attractive. This is Anthony. Say hi to Anthony, everyone. Anthony's my co-founder, my bromance, my bro-founder. Anthony has some of these physical books. If you want them, you can have them. We just got them fresh off the press. Up to this point, it was all in digital. You can check with him. And I think that the awesome guys from Sales Hacker Conference at saleshacker.com is going to send you a survey asking you how much we sucked. And if you fill that out, we'll do some co-promo where you can get some books. That'd be awesome. The other thing that I want to tell you about this is a little secret, which is our content. Like, if you go to blog.closo.io and you read our content, our content is marketing, but even more so than marketing, it's sales. A shit ton of our customers buy partially because of our content. And we've been really good at remixing and repurposing content. So the book is driven by the blog engine. The email course that you saw is driven by the blog engine. And we can talk a lot more about that, how to use content to sell more effectively and sell more successfully. But that's all I got. I need some questions now. Like, people, questions. Yes, speaker, first row.
So, what is in the big, long email?
Big, long email?
What's
the question?
Roughly, what's in it?
It's, let me tell you about the story of our company. And it starts with, we started this business because of this reason, and here's what was great about it, and here's what sucked. And out of that came the software that we did because we wanted to do X, Y, and Z. And here's, you know, how it impacted people. And now we're at this point where we're doing, it's just sharing our entire journey. But in that, it's not just good storytelling, but it's good salesmanship because there's a lot of managing objections and selling value proposition, although it's not. Here's the matrix of our 240 features and how it relates to everybody else. It's very, very between the lines, very much. If you, the whole point of long copy, the way it works, when it works, is that many people will not read it. But if you start reading it and it's written well, it sucks you in and you keep reading, and every sentence you read is a little bit more investment, which makes it harder for you to stop reading. So once you've invested 15 minutes reading the fucking email, now you're pretty invested. Now you want to do something. You're like, let me hit reply. There's lots of people that hit reply and just say, I just want to say thank you. Like, thank you. Say, okay. They're just like, I just spent my whole, like, lunch reading the fucking email. Let me say something to this person, right? That's why long copy works when it does, because you invest a ton of time. And you don't just want to go, I just spent 20 minutes reading this. Goodbye. You're like, you want to move on. You've invested now. You're invested. All right. Other questions? Yes.
Yeah. So I have a quick question about when you start early with outbound sales and prospecting, and how you go down to talk a lot about follow-up, of when to keep reaching out and saying, you're looking to disengage, and the power of saying that I'm going to disengage, to when are you flipping over stones, when are you wasting time trying to convince someone on something where, like, your time is better spent just trying to flip over fresh stones?
Yeah, so the question is, when should you stop following up? So personally and generically, never, right? That's just my personal philosophy. I love it because it's simple. Everybody can remember it. Just don't stop. But more practically, the never stop following up philosophy or religion is applied best when you had a good conversation, a good meeting, a good call, some warm connection with somebody, and then they drop off the planet. If you send out a cold email and somebody doesn't reply, I don't think you can indefinitely follow up. Some people do, but it's even outside my comfort zone, right? So what I would say there is just be practical. In the very early days where you're just trying to get something going, I would just never stop. You don't have to be rational. It doesn't have to be like making any business sense. You're out there to learn. Never stop following up. But eventually, once you want to have a business model, you want to think, hey, if a customer is worth $5, I can't follow up for 10 years. It's just not, the economics won't work. So eventually you have to stop. It depends on how big the deal is, what the customer is worth to you. If the customer is worth millions, you might want to keep following up for a year, right? If you can do it creatively. We had a blog post on Sales Hacker's blog. These are the funny biz guys. So wave high. If you want to be funnier in your biz, these are the people. And there's a blog post on Sales Hacker on like the creative, funny shit they do when following up with me. Right? And when somebody tells me I'm gonna follow up with you, I wanna see if they can just talk about it or actually practice it. Practice that shit. Like legitimately with like a gift with a cookie one, so like waiting. Right? I was like, oh, this is fucking funny. And then there's a video and it's like, hey, I sent you a personal follow-up video. And alright, I'll check it out, play. And you see him go, hey, Stelly, you know, blah, 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 I wanted to follow up, let's do this, come on, let's work together. I'm like, all right, you made a video, but will this really move me? I'm not moved yet. And it's like two guys to the frame with guitars, they start playing a song, it's the follow-up, and they just like sing, and I'm like, no way they did this for me. This is a template. They have like the follow-up song, and then at the beginning, they just say, hey, Stelly, hey, Bob, whatever the fuck. And then in the song, they're like, Stelly, oh Stelly, hey, close I hope. I'm like, holy shit. Next thing I do, a reply, next thing we do, we write about it on our blog, on Sales Hacker. Right now it's out there, I've been talking about it all night. So the answer to when do you stop following up at the early days, probably never, you want to learn. Eventually you need to make a judgment call. And the breakup email is a great one. I didn't have time to put it in the slide deck, but lots of companies that do this where you, like HubSpot, for instance, right? They send you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 emails once you sign up for a 30-day trial, and eventually you'll get the breakup email. It's something like goodbye from blah.
Yeah, that's like more of it when you send the breakup email, because that shoots things up.
Well, yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be the second one,
yeah.
Right? If you're breaking up with me before we started, before I started. So I don't know if it's the fourth, the fifth. I think it's irrelevant, right? I mean, at scale, you might want to tweak these little knobs, but at the beginning, you don't give a shit. Just do as much as you can. As much as you can afford. Right, other questions? Yes?
I really like your point about asking your customers, you know, if they give you any objections or why they don't do emails, why they call. Do you have any other kind of questions that you think people don't ask in that online sales calls?
So the question was, are there any other crucial questions you should ask when you connect with a customer or prospect for the first time, when you're on the phone with them? Here's my number one ninja question for you. What is it going to take for you to become a customer? Ask it early, ask it often. And when you ask it, don't just take the first answer. Work with that answer. I call it the virtual clues. Another sales hack blog post, I think, that's out there somewhere that you can find. So what do I mean by that? If I say, hey, what is it going to, hey, now that we figured out that you are a good fit and this could work for both sides, what is it going to take for you to become a customer? Well, I'm going to take this back to my team. We'll evaluate it. Don't just say, oh, cool. Cool. Let's say the evaluation is positive. What happens next? Well, next we're going to, jump on a call, have all the stakeholders involved, ask all the questions, see what comes up. Cool. Let's say I answer all the questions to your satisfaction. What happens next? The next thing that happens is you have to go through legal. Cool. And then procurement. And then my grandmother does palm reading. You have to visit my grandmother. Cool. What then? Are we in business then? Yeah, then we're in business. Cool. Now I know what the roadmap to the close is. Now I know everything it's going to take. And if there's some red flags, is it something I don't want to do, how long it's going to take. You know, when I talk to salespeople, they're like, next week I'm going to close the biggest deal of my life. Awesome. When? Wednesday. I'll check in on you on Wednesday. Wednesday. I'm like, so? Congrats, champagne, what's up? Well, there was some surprise. Oh, what was the surprise? It still has to go through legal. How the fuck is that a surprise? How is legal a surprise? Right? Legal means you didn't prepare. You didn't ask the right question. So ask, what is it going to take for you to become a customer? And then follow through that question until you arrive at a virtual close. Somebody tells you, well, I don't know. It's a bad sign. It's a bad thing. I don't know what it's going to take for us to become a customer. Oh, if you had to guess, what would your guess be? I don't know. I've never bought it. I'm the intern here. It's good to know. Or let's say, well, we're not going to buy until 2045 because our budget is like projected out to them. Cool. I'll never speak to you again for the rest of my life. Have a great evening. Right now, you know, don't waste time with this person. There's so many people that just like to talk. They're getting paid in that hour. They're doing their job on the phone. You're wasting time, right? So you need to ask that question. That's an important question that I love to ask. Any other questions?
Do one more.
Yeah. One more question.
Yeah.
Ingo.
How do you respond to people when you're sending out emails and someone responds just really curt, like, hey, thanks, not interested? They might actually be a good prospect.
Well, everybody might. So the question is, what do you do when somebody replies to the email, but their reply is very short, like, thanks, not interested, or thanks, not for us, or something like that? You know, what? It was somebody else.
Unsubscribe.
You unsubscribe them?
No, that he's saying, like, that's what they were responding.
Oh, well, sometimes they write unsubscribe. I love to do that, but it's hard to, I don't have that feature biologically. And Stelly told me to never stop following up. You can always blame me, right? He reads Stelly's blog. He taught me not to. So, what do you do? It's hard to say. In some cases, it might just make sense to not waste your time. If you have lots of opportunities, if you're killing it and crushing it, and you're in the growth phase, not the totally optimizing, you're already a huge organization phase, might not be worth right now optimizing the people that say no. Lots of people ask me, what do you do when somebody says no? Do you keep following up? At this point, if you really do an amazing job when people don't reply to you on the follow-up, that's my first mission in life. If I get everybody to do that, I make the world a better place, and that's it, right? I'm cool with that. What do you do when people say no? That's kind of a black belt ninja. Depends on your business model. Again, what are they worth to you? How ballsy are you? There's salespeople that have sent people, some books about, like, never accept no after they said no, or... like, I heard somebody saying that they would keep sending, like, hockey sticks in Canada with, like, a little note of Gretzky that was saying you can only miss the pucks that you have not taken. Something, whatever. Some, like, some quote that was inspirational that was saying, hey, you said no to me, but I'm going to keep going, right? In a little of a crazy might make total sense if you're raising around and this is the star investor, or if you really need that press, or if you really need that massive customer, it's kind of a make or break. You might want to do everything. But on the day-to-day, if you have tons of opportunities, tons of things to go after, it might not be the right thing to optimize on. It's hard to say generically. All right, you guys have been awesome. Send an email to stelly@close.io. Say hi, let's connect, let's be friends. And yeah, thanks so much, guys.